Right now, the Lord is doing a work to quiet souls, to put His shalom into your soul. Some of you are even aware of it. You came in a different condition with some turmoil, or you were stirred up or anxious or worried or thinking about problems, and right now you're not thinking about those problems. And this is the work of God to quiet your soul, to prepare you for what's ahead. Thank the Lord now for His shalom. Thank Him. Just tell Him, thank you, Abba. Thank you, Abba, for your shalom. Thank you that your shalom is stronger than understanding. Thank you that your shalom is the very source of peace. Thank you that your shalom is a protection for our minds and for our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that your shalom melts worry, overcomes fear, destroys anxiety, defeats the wiles of the enemy. Someone here tonight is saying, yeah, but I don't have shalom. Maybe everybody else does, but not me. I want to tell you something. God will give you His shalom. He's not a respecter of individuals. He has some principles, and one of the principles is that you cast your anxieties upon Him with thanksgiving. What that means is you take the things that are overwhelming you and you give them to God with the expectation that He will take the weight of them upon Himself. And you do this with thanksgiving. You begin to say, thank you, God. It's not just that you're trying to cheerlead yourself into something. It's that you thank Him for the victories that He has won before on your behalf. You thank Him for the specific things that He has already done that you have actually experienced. You rehearse what you already know. You speak what you have experienced. You rejoice in the victories of other people around you. How do you get the power to bless when people are persecuting you? You learn to rejoice when other people are rejoicing. You might not yet have the victory for yourself, but someone else got a victory. And you can begin to say, you can say something new. Not, what about me, God? But you can say, thank you, Lord, for their victory. Thank you for the compassion and the kindness and the ways that you're working on their behalf. I'm glad for them. I've known barren women who could not conceive, who could not rejoice when they heard the news that a friend of theirs got pregnant. And when they learned to rejoice, God gave them their own. I know when people couldn't get jobs and they heard all around them that someone else was getting a job, and they couldn't rejoice, and they were saying, but what about me? And then they learned to rejoice in what God did for someone else, and then God gave them theirs. Anya, come on.
My punchline. That's exactly a lesson that the Lord kind of just, He's been teaching me a long time, but I did not realize it until just a few days ago. And I thought, well, I'm working at this job all day, you know. And then these people came to me. I wasn't even looking for any promotion or anything. I mean, and they just came and asked me if I wanted to do, you know, another job and if they would pay more. And I just was sitting at home and I was praying. I said, Lord, you know, I know I don't deserve this, and like, but what can I do? And he just showed me that the reason I gave you this is because you've been faithful with little. And I just want to tell you that even if you're in a place of work where it's really hard and you don't want to be there and you're frustrated every day, you just cannot wait till Friday when you get up on Monday morning, or even Sunday you're starting groaning, just pray and think that God will show you a reason why he puts you in the place. Pray and think that, you know, it might not be, I realize then this is a big for me because I'm pretty selfish, and this was a big revelation that he told me, you know, it's not all about you. I put you in a place because I want you to affect other people's lives. So think about people that are around you, because they might be your ministry. And you might have to stick around this place until you do something for them, until you walk that out. And then he will bless you in your time, and you don't have to look for anything. He will just come to you, and he will just give it to you on a silver platter, you know, more than you can handle. So, but it's just something I learned, and I feel that, you know, might be helpful for all of you.
But don't sit down. Don't sit down yet, because some of you actually need promotions. You need better jobs, and you need someone to pursue you. We pray sometimes in a very special way. The scripture says that the blessings of God will overtake you. You know, what most people do is they're chasing the blessings, and they never catch them. But the blessings of God will chase you, and they will overtake you. Sometimes you just need to slow down and aim in a different direction. You may have thought you're running towards the blessings, but really, the blessings can't even catch up with you because you're going in the wrong way. And if you would just reposition yourself and take a different posture, the blessings of God would overtake you. Now, if you need the blessings of God to overtake you, as they've overtaken Anya just now, come up. She's going to pray for you. You just come over here. If you're in that situation, you just don't know how to find the blessings of God. You need them to find you. Look, there's a principle that I believe in, and that is when someone receives, we can rejoice in what they receive. When someone has a cause for rejoicing, we can rejoice with them. And when their anointing is manifest, we can begin to be blessed by that same anointing. So if you just need God's blessings to overtake you, come on up. Anya will pray for you. This is going to turn into a three-ring circus, so don't worry. Don't worry. It's all in order. It's all decent. It's not always expected. Well, it's getting expected. And Anya, you can anoint people with oil if you want. Last week on Saturday, I was talking about pursuing love. And Stephanie had an understanding just now that some people are so going after blessings, they're not pursuing love. They're not pursuing God and His love. And Teshuvah will solve this for you. Teshuvah is what's translated repentance, but what it really means is to turn around and make an about face and to aim towards God and all that God has. And so if you realize that you've been aiming in the wrong direction and trying to get stuff without trying to pursue love, I just want to encourage you. I don't know, stand up, turn around, or do something symbolic for yourself and just say, God, I am ready to make teshuvah. I'm ready to make an about face, and I'm ready to pursue your love. And just say, here I am, Lord. There you go. There you go. There you go. You know, there's value in taking symbolic action because it means something to you. And God recognizes the things that you take, the steps that you take. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what marks the body of Messiah is that we can make repentance and we can do it with gladness. We're not embarrassed to turn around and to turn to God. I want you to concentrate, even though there are people being prayed for in front of us right now. Is that your new song? Is it? No? Which one is it? You're just playing. Well, I like it. Do you have a microphone? Can we give you one? Okay. Hook her up. I want to make a little advertisement for the Holy Spirit. On Saturday last week, we had such an interesting time. Who was here Saturday? Would you describe it as interesting?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was very unusual, too. It was Shavuot, that holiday where we commemorate the giving of Torah and the giving of the Holy Spirit. And there was this amazing moment that just went on and on and on. And we were singing a new song which Eric had written, Selah, which had in it this cry to God to whisper to us and to speak to us and to speak in our ears. And I felt it would be good to pray for each person who wanted to hear the voice of God and to anoint their ears with a little anointing oil. So quite a few people came up. I prayed for more earlobes, touched more earlobes than I ever have in my life. And after that was through, the worship team began to move in the direction of a song called The Rain, which Eric also wrote, I think, right after Katrina, right? And something most unusual happened. I'll describe it. I've talked to enough people that I think this is objective. The worship team was playing and singing, and God Himself began to play with the worship team, using as His musical instruments the rain, lightning, and thunder. And at appropriate times, He sent thunder as if it were part of the percussion. And He used the falling of the rain so dramatically, according to the right rhythms of what we were singing in the right time. It was most unusual, and I felt compelled to just comment on this because the thing which I had wanted to speak about but didn't get a chance to was how on Mount Sinai at the first Shavuot, God came with lightning and with thunder. And He shook the mountain. The mountain actually trembled. And I said that there are many times in the scriptures when lightning and thunder are the instruments of God. They are the weapons of God for His victory. Not just for showing off, but for His victory. And I just declared that God uses lightning and thunder for victory. And at that moment, right after that, was the loudest. Put Eric's mic up, if you would. how would you describe it?
Describe it as the loudest, strongest, most attention-getting thunderclap I have ever heard.
Me too.
The lights blinked and the sound equipment crackled. It was something.
The sound went into the sound system and then came out of the sound system. It actually penetrated our sound system, Eric told me. I'm telling you this because no one can organize this. You can try, it won't work. You can try to reproduce the moment, and nothing will happen. This was a moment when God took initiative in order to play with our worship team and with our congregation to actually worship while we were worshiping. And he used instruments that are available to no man. Afterwards, I was meditating on this. I just can't stop coming back to it. And I remembered how the disciples marveled with fear when Yeshua commanded the storm to be calm. Do you remember they were in that boat in the storm? He was sleeping. They were certain they would die. And he just called them little faiths. And he got up and he commanded the storm to be calm, and it was, and it just scared everybody. And the same God who did that was with us on Saturday. So I'm making an advertisement for the Holy Spirit here, because I want you to understand something. The Holy Spirit decided to come on Saturday and to come to our Torah service, which had its own problems. And to be honest with you, we had to fix all the Hebrew that was being spoken, and everybody was struggling with this and with that. And I think Stephanie, it sort of wore you out, didn't it? Just a tad. Yeah. But you know what? It was right after all of that that the Holy Spirit said, they need help. This group needs encouragement and needs to know I really love them. And sometimes you do the very best you can and it's not good enough, and then God comes and he doesn't make up the difference. He goes far beyond what you could possibly imagine. That's what happened. I'm not missing a service after this. I mean, there are times when Sandy's tired after Friday nights and a long week or a lot of ministry, and I'll say, why don't you just sleep on Saturday? And she'll say, because I don't want to miss something. The Saturday service is really growing. We're having from 70 to 90 people now coming. I remember a year ago, we were happy when there were 20. So it's a change. It's a change. It's different. What happens here on Friday helps with what happens on Saturday. But some of you don't even have any idea that there is a real Saturday with the congregation. You're not even aware that the Spirit of God moves as He chooses on Saturday and does mighty things. And people are getting healed. People are getting set free. People are finding God's mercy and His compassion and His power and His love. So sometimes you might go home on Friday night saying, I want something more. I just want to encourage you, come back and get some more. It's not the same. They're different services. There's a whole other group of people that comes on Saturday. There are about 20 duplicates. That's it. And everybody else just comes on Saturday. So some of the people you don't even know unless you come on Saturdays. But the congregation is having a good time. And I just want to give credit to the Holy Spirit. I'm not really trying to promote Saturday. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to promote the work of the Holy Spirit. that there are times when you're hungry for more and you're thirsty for more, and you don't have to stay in that condition. You can get fed. You can get filled. You can be satisfied. Some people never would think of coming to a prayer meeting, for instance. Some people would never think that they should reorganize their schedule to come once a month to the first Wednesday prayer meeting. But we had some awesome times the last few months. And you may be like in need of a schedule overhaul. This is what I'm thinking for some of you. You know what I mean by that? What I mean is you're putting a lot of effort into situations that aren't quite right. You're trying to get them right, but you don't have the power to get them right. And you put a lot of time into it. And I want to encourage you to use your time in different ways. Come and pray, for instance. Sometimes you can spend a couple of hours praying with us, and your whole life will be different from that point on. And it's not that you get a breakthrough. It's that you fix something that needs fixing. You get something that you need, and then you can move, and you can keep moving, and you can keep moving in that direction. Come up, Sammy. Fix something that needs fixing. That reminded Sandy of a prophetic word I brought to the congregation at the beginning of the year that some of you probably don't even remember, because it was Saturday. January 14th, 2006. And I was speaking about when Joseph brought his sons to Jacob for blessing. Do you remember what happened? Do you remember what Jacob, Israel, did? There was the younger, and there was the older, and Jacob crossed his hands, and he put the right hand of his blessing on the younger and the left hand on the older. And Joseph corrected his dad and said, "That's not quite right." And Jacob said, "I know what I'm doing. It's not because I'm old, which I am. It's not because I can't see, which I can't. It's not because I have no idea of what's going on, because I do." And he said, "This is the way it should be." And he put things right by doing that. And I'll just read Sandy's notes. Jacob understood he must change the order of things. And then I spoke this in 2006. God is going to do a fair amount of crossing his hands so we can put things in right order, his order. Normal order is what we're used to. And yet God is going to fix some things we did not realize needed to be changed. You know, there are some things in your life, you think you've got them in order, but you know they're not working right. And what God really needs to do is cross his hands and put the blessing on the thing you don't think needs the greater blessing. And he needs to put the lesser blessing on the thing you think needs the greater blessing. And when he crosses his hands and he blesses things correctly, he'll put things in right condition and right order, and things will be fixed. Now, some of you are thinking, "I got to get this part of my life in order, or that part of my life, or something like that." And God's got to cross his hands on your life. And he's got to bless some things, like blessing you so you come and pray, for instance. And not always trying to make things happen yourself. Not always trying to figure out everything that needs to happen. This is hard for us to do, especially Jewish people to do. We would rather sit around for two centuries and try to figure it out. But God is wanting to show something, that when you come with simplicity and with expectation and without self-centeredness, God will do things that are exactly what you need. And he will minister to you, and he will take care of you. He will provide for you. It's true. And this is not about the congregation. This is not about our ministry. It's not about me. It's not about anybody. It's about how God works in your life. God wants to put some things together. He wants to fix some things. He wants to bless you. When and how he wants to do it. And do you remember when Moses found God in the burning bush? Of course, he wanted to know God's name. Who are you? And what can you do? And God said something bizarre like, my name is Eya Asher Eya, which is hard to translate, but loosely it means I'll do whatever I please. And you'll never be able to control me. That's a pretty accurate rendering of the Hebrew. And the amplified version would be, and don't think you can ever figure me out so that you can become the boss. That was all part of what, you know, it's only three words, but it means a lot. And I love what Buber has to say about the original pronunciation of Yod-Heh-Vov-Heh, you know, the four-letter name of God, the what the Jews sometimes call Hashem, the name, or the tetragrammaton. Is that how you say it? Yeah? What a horrible word. It just means the four-letter word. But it sure sounds awful, doesn't it? And which Americans love to call Jehovah. Which is certainly not the pronunciation. Buber, I'm not one for trying to fathom these things too much, but right now I feel I'm compelled to just tell you what Martin Buber, one of the great Jewish philosophers, theologians, and interesting fellows of this century had to say. He said, based on his understanding of Hebrew, probably the correct pronunciation is like this, Yao. For instance, one of the prime ministers of Israel was named Benjamin Netanyahu or Netanyahu, right, which is formed from these same letters. And so he's convinced that this name was a proclamation, it was an exclamation, and that when the presence of God was manifest, people just said, Yow! Which loosely meant, he is here. I can't say that's definitive, but it's sure more interesting than Jehovah, isn't it? And sometimes I just find myself compelled when the presence of God is here just to say, Yow! And other times, wow. And other times, whoa. And I say all those things in worship to the Lord. There's a scripture I really wanted to tell you about. And I can do it quickly because it's one verse. It's from the portion we were reading this week, Numbers chapter 4, verse 32. It talks about all the stuff that had to be carried in to the court of the tabernacle. The pillars, their sockets, the pegs, the cords, all the furnishings, all the stuff that was used to set up the tabernacle where the presence of God was dwelling and where it was like the predecessor to the temple of Jerusalem. And it has this one verse, and you shall assign to each man by name the items he must carry. And I read that, and it just got me. You must assign by name to each man the items he must carry. And I began to think about what this meant. This meant that every person knew his responsibility. Every person knew what he had to do. So that if he did what was assigned to him, he was fulfilling his duty. And what's so interesting is we're talking about serving the Lord in this whole passage that we were reading this week. It uses the most unusual word, not just the normal words for ministry and service, but it uses the word that has to do with warfare. It's formed from, this phrase, the Lord of hosts, Adonai Tzavaot. Well, that word Tzavaot or host could be translated as battalions or army or those who are organized to make war. And it says of all those who are ministering in the temple, all of those who are ministering in the tabernacle who are the sons of Levi took upon themselves this warfare, which is translated service. So I'm telling you this, when you take responsibility for anything, when you're filling up the cup and you're putting out the tallit, when you're setting the candles, when you're putting chairs in order, when you're getting the sound system working, when you're taping or now burning CDs, when you're running things, when you're rehearsing as a worship team, when you're taking care of the children in the nursery, when you're organizing the Oneg Shabbat, when you're doing all of these things, when you're praying in support of the ministry, when you're coordinating the ministries, when you're organizing the ushers, when you're doing those things, you're doing warfare, that's service and ministry to the Lord, and you're fulfilling something that's so important. And what's, I think, critical in these days is that everyone would know his own responsibilities. What he must do, when he must do it, with whom he must work. What's the way to recognize quality and excellence in your work? And I'm thinking about something, because this is like your assignment for yourself. Here's how to find out how healthy you are. Ask yourself this one question. What are your specific responsibilities in the congregation and in serving the Lord? Do you have responsibilities? And if the answer is, I don't have any responsibilities, you know what? Get some. And if you don't have enough to keep you busy, get some more. And if your responsibilities don't demand enough of you, you can do something about that. You can raise your expectations for yourself. You can say, you know what? I can do better. I know I can. You can say, at least I can do something. I can be dependable. I can be on time. I can be faithful. I can be easy to work with. You can make yourself more available. You can commit to better fruit, bigger fruit, more effectiveness. You don't have to kill yourself. It's not even about working harder. It's just about working more faithfully. Sometimes if you put a little bit of time into your work and into your ministry, you can do it in half the time. If you put a little planning, a little prayer into it, you can accomplish it more easily than you are. So it's not about putting more time in. It's not about working harder. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about lifting your own vision up for yourself and saying, God, I want to be a responsible person. I want to do more. I want to do more for you. And it's not because you're a workaholic or you're a man pleaser or because you lack self-esteem and don't think that you'll be worthy unless you do more. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. You can get healed of all of that stuff and still need to serve. But all that's necessary is to say to God, here I am, you can count on me. Give me responsibility. 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 Some of you would like to leave the room right now because of that word. Responsibility. But I tell you what, if you take a little responsibility and you do it well, it'll be powerful in your life.